This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Now, the word archaeologist might make you think of a swashbuckling adventurer like Indiana Jones. Spoiler, those movies may not be 100% accurate when it comes to the world of archaeology. You might have seen real-life archaeologists, maybe on the TV or movies excavating ancient historic sites in Egypt or Peru. But did you know that there are archaeologists who dive deep underwater to dig up stories from the past? Some of them even work here in our own backyard, diving into the Great Lakes to learn about indigenous people from the Ice Age. Our next guest has been doing this work for over a decade and is with us today to share her experiences as an underwater archaeologist. Ashley Lemke is an associate professor of anthropology at UW-Milwaukee and former chair of the Advisory Council on Underwater Archaeology. Ashley, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, when people think of underwater archaeology, they might think of shipwrecks, which is a thing. You are working on a much older time period. Can you tell us a little bit about the work you're doing and who you're looking back at?
Yeah, a lot of underwater archaeologists focus on shipwrecks, and they're amazing. But there's actually much older archaeological sites that are underwater all over the world. And just right here in the Great Lakes, there's evidence of 9,000-year-old caribou hunting sites. So myself and my team have been working on a feature that's out in the middle of Lake Huron, and there are stone-constructed features that Ice Age peoples would have built to help them hunt animals more effectively. And their remains of stone tools are there as well.
I want to talk about one thing that's kind of mind-blowing. That's the basis of this whole conversation. You know, we look around and we see a great lake or a river or whatever, and that's the landscape. And from our perspective, it's there, always has been, always will be. But lakes get bigger and smaller over time, and people settle in those dry zones. Give us some perspective on that, how much our waterways have changed and why there are buried or underwater sites now.
Yeah, you're right. It's really mind-blowing even for me. You know, I work on this every day, and I kind of think about it. You know, we know the Great Lakes rise and fall each year. You know, they change their shorelines. They're never consistent. But at the end of the last ice age, there was so much water that was frozen in those glacial ice sheets that there was just less water in the area. So water levels were a lot lower. It was a little drier. So there was more evaporation of water. And there's just a ton of land. The Great Lakes were just a lot smaller than they are today. And prehistoric peoples were there and they were living on all those coastlines. And eventually all their sites got flooded at the end of the Ice Age when all that water kind of came back.
Now, my gut would say, okay, you've taken a site where people lived. Now there's water all over it. Water's going to wash away everything that we'd be interested in. Obviously, that's not true because of, you know, your job exists. Does water actually preserve some of this stuff?
Yeah, that's honestly the best part about doing underwater archaeology. It's challenging, but kind of contrary to what we would think, underwater can preserve especially things like wood and textiles and clothing much better. So the water came up, but it looks like it came up gently enough that artifacts are still intact. There's actually 9,000-year-old rooted trees that are on the bottom of the Great Lakes.
I want to talk a little bit about the how of the work now. And because there's a robot involved, I guess I'll start with the robot. Jake, tell us about Jake the robot.
Yes. So Jake is my buddy. He is an underwater robot. I'm his pilot. And the good thing about working in the Great Lakes, you know, it's beautiful, but it's pretty cold. So when you have a robot, you know, he doesn't care about how cold it is. He doesn't need oxygen. He can just stay down there all day long. So we send the robot first. He checks out all the archaeological sites, sees what's there, what they look like, does all the photo documentation before we ever go down and scuba dive and start digging. And it's really wonderful to have that technology because you can just see live on the boat what the robot is seeing underwater first.
Okay, now when I picture an archaeologist on land, they're delicately digging, they're brushing off pottery sherds, things like that. Take us down with you. You're doing a scuba dive. What does that work look like when you're underwater?
Yeah, so we as archaeologists, you know, we try to do the same thing we do underwater as we do on land. We don't want to reinvent the wheel. We know, you know, careful excavation really works. So you have the same similar tools. You have a bucket, you have some little shovels, and you slowly remove the sediment. You put it in the bucket. In our case, you attach it to an airlift, and then you put air in it, and it shoots up to the surface, all very carefully, of course. So you excavate really slowly and really carefully, just like you would do on land. You just happen to be breathing compressed air while you're doing it.
Ashley Lemke is with us from UW-Milwaukee's Department of Anthropology, talking about her work in underwater archaeology. I want to focus in on your work around the Great Lakes. You've done a lot in Lake Huron in particular. Can you tell us about what we know about the people who lived on the land that is now submerged under part of Lake Huron?
Yeah, the neat thing about the underwater record of the Great Lakes is it's teaching us things we didn't know about peoples that lived here previously. So we assume they moved around a lot, you know, kind of hunting animals. But what the work underwater shows us is they were living on the landscape and kind of settling in for part of the year. They were building these structures. They were sort of camping out, waiting to intercept animals, and then working together to hunt collectively. And then, you know, share that meat, maybe tell stories, you know, socialize and hang out around campfires just like we would do today. And I think one of the most interesting things we found are these very small stone tools that are made out of volcanic glass. And we all know, you know, there's no volcanoes around the Great Lakes. So where did those tools come from? The source of that obsidian, that volcanic glass, is actually the state of Oregon. So we have evidence that peoples in the Great Lakes at the end of the last ice age had some maybe trade and exchange networks with people all over the country.
Whether we're talking about the Great Lakes or the Gulf of Mexico or the Atlantic Ocean, how much is underwater archaeology filling in gaps that we may have had, open questions that we hadn't had answers to previously?
Honestly, so much. It's exciting because, you know, when you do archaeology, even on land, you feel like you're seeing these things that no one's seen, you know, for 6,000 years or even 400 years. But underwater, because it's this vast environment, we've only just barely explored, you know, just a small percentage of it. So we're finding shipwrecks all the time. We're finding a lot of artifacts that are much older than we thought. So every time we go down there, we find something new.
And since we decided to give you a call, there's this breaking news in underwater archaeology. This is from Northern Europe off the coast of Germany. The discovery of this, people call it a mega structure, this big wall. You've been quoted on this actually some in the news with your perspectives on it. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's really fascinating because it's similar to structures we found in the Great Lakes. It's a large wall. It's about a kilometer long, and the archaeologists there think it was used for hunting reindeer. So it's really fascinating because, you know, it's underwater, so it's preserved, and they've done a lot of mapping, but it's older than Stonehenge, you know? So it's just this really wonderful discovery because it shows us that people were building pretty big structures, and they were using them for hunting, you know, 9,000 years ago. So it's really neat to think of how old, you know, some of these sites are, and they're still just waiting to be found underwater.
I know with land-based technology, new remote sensing technologies have helped find locations of sites that maybe we didn't know existed. Are there big technological developments in underwater archaeology that are really helping pave the way forward?
Yeah, I would say the biggest one actually is AI, artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. We've started using that quite a bit as underwater archaeologists. So in one hand, you're kind of training the AI to identify shipwrecks. So they're having these training sets where there's all this sonar data, and, you know, most of it's just the ocean floor. But we're training the AI to pick out the shipwrecks, to identify them for archaeologists. And then we've actually worked with some virtual reality work of just kind of getting a sense of what these landscapes would have looked like. You know, it's hard to imagine when you're underwater, either looking through the robot or scuba diving, you know, what would this have looked like when it was dry land? So we've created a virtual reality environment of the Great Lakes when they were dry land 9,000 years ago that you can walk around and you can explore and you can see sites. So VR and AI are both things that underwater archaeologists are using.
What led you into underwater archaeology in the first place?
I am kind of a water person. I grew up in Washington State. Actually, yeah, right. My dad's from Waukesha, but I grew up in Washington State, and I've just always been around water. I've always been fascinated by boats, love being outside, and a lot of my family's in the Navy. So it was fun to, you know, I was doing archaeology on land and they were like, oh, that's neat. And then I started doing it underwater and they're like, oh, sonar, you know, like, we know what that is. So the underwater world, I think, is just, it's always captured my attention. You know, we always say it's like Jacques Cousteau meets Indiana Jones. Like, who doesn't want to have that job?
And you've written that it's important to make underwater archaeology more accessible, help overcome some of the barriers to entry. What would be at the top of your list to help make that happen?
Yeah, honestly, thanks for letting me talk to you guys, because I think just getting the message out there that underwater archaeology is a field, you know, that this is a real job that people can have, and we're a welcoming group of people. You know, if there's anybody who's interested in it, there's always ways to get involved. Even working on archaeology on land too, we work a lot with volunteers and what we call avocational archaeologists, people who just want to come and learn about the past. The other thing is it can be expensive. So, you know, going to school is a lot of it, and school can be expensive, but the field as archaeologists, we're always trying to find ways to make it more affordable and more accessible, because it's such a wonderful experience. We want to make it as accessible as possible.
Now, you're at UW-Milwaukee. We were talking about your work on Lake Huron. I mean, is there cool stuff you reckon off the shores of Lake Michigan, maybe not far from where you're working?
Yes. So I can see the lake from my office. This is like the best job in the world. but that's the plan. So I just got here in August. I just got hired at UW-Milwaukee. And the goal is to do a similar project like I've been doing in Lake Huron and bring it to Lake Michigan. So Lake Michigan has the same thing. It was lower at the end of the last ice age. It was actually called Lake Chippewa, ancient Lake Chippewa. So the plan is to work with some of the folks here and start looking for these older sites in Lake Michigan too.
Well, as you find stuff, give us a call first.
Right, we'll do.
Ashley, thanks so much for joining us. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you.
That's Ashley Lemke, Associate Professor of Anthropology at UW-Milwaukee, former chair of the Advisory Council on Underwater Archaeology. She was with us to talk about her work as an underwater archaeologist in the Great Lakes and beyond.